When you find 2 Kings 11, let's stand together, and we'll read a few verses here in verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, did you get all that? It's going to get deeper here in a little bit when I start preaching. Took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Well, from verses 4 down to verse 12, you read about this somewhat elaborate system of protection for this king that they're trying to hide. And Jehoiada the priest, of course, he splits them up into three different parts to make sure he's protected and that nobody knows about this king, especially Athaliah, until we get to about verse 12, and he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him, By the way, this is after 6 years, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew the trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. I want to say, really?
Right. Right.
Sounds like a politician today. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the host and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. The priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. Go down to verse 20. We read, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash, or Joash, same person, when he began to reign. Interesting day.
Amen.
In the nation of Israel. Let's see what it's all about. Father, we thank you for your goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the word of God.
Thank you.
It's been a joy to be in church tonight. Oh, what great singing we heard. The special was wonderful. The congregational was great, the singing. And Father, the Lord's Supper, what a time to think of you and what you've done for us. But Father, we've come to this portion of the service where it's the preaching of your word. I need you to fill me with your spirit. May your word go forth tonight with power and clarity. Lord, give us what we need this evening as a church and as we strive to serve thee in 2023.
Yes,
so bless the message. Use it for your glory. Remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. Well, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For some time now, we have been looking at the kings that reigned during the period known as the Divided Kingdom period in Israel. Now, as I've been saying pretty much every message, or at least summing it up a little bit, the Divided Kingdom period began in 975 B.C. It was after the death of Solomon, Israel's third king. Of course, there was King Saul at 1095 to 1055 B.C., 40-year reign. King David, 1055 B.C. to 1015 B.C., a 40-year reign. And then King Solomon, 1015 to 975 B.C., another 40-year reign. And then Solomon's successor, his son Rehoboam, took the throne in 975 B.C., and things didn't go well. I think you know the story, how he was asking the old men and the young men how he ought to treat the people, and he took the advice of the young men. That didn't go over well, and it caused the kingdom to split. And so that began in 975 B.C. and it would run to 722 B.C., a period of 253 years where the nation of Israel would be split into and function as two separate distinct kingdoms. We have the northern kingdom of Israel, would be the larger of the two, with 10 of the tribes in the northern kingdom. Capital city, eventually in Samaria. It didn't start out there, but that's where it ended up. And then there'd be the southern kingdom of Judah, with the two tribes of Benjamin and Judah, with their capital in Jerusalem. Now, during this time period of 253 years, we know that the northern kingdom would see 19 different kings, all of them ungodly, nine different dynasties, families that changed because of murders and all kinds of things. And the southern kingdom during this time period would see 12 different kings, arguably seven of them good and five of them bad, but always one dynasty because God promised the Davidic line would continue. Has pertinence to this message tonight in a little bit. Now, here in our text, we come to a very interesting time during this period. About 100 years since the kingdom split, the year is about 860 B.C., the northern kingdom has seen already 10 different kings, and the southern kingdom has seen 6 different kings, and the last king that was on the throne, if you remember, I preached about him last time I preached on this series, was their 10th king in the north, was King Jehu. You remember Jehu, right? His life is summed up for us in 2 Kings chapter 9 and 2 Kings chapter 10. Jehu was the one, if you don't remember, who went on a murderous spree. Absolute, a murderous spree throughout not just the northern kingdom, but the southern kingdom as well. Now, while Jehu, we know, was raised up by God to bring judgment upon the house of Ahab, God said he would do that, and it was judgment of God, Jehu went above and beyond.
Right.
I mean, way beyond his expectations and not in a good way. Herbert Lockyer said this, during the 28 years of his reign, Jehu wallowed through a river of blood, and he proceeded with his bloody work as if he reveled in it. And he did. That's the kind of man he was. He slayed Jehoram, Ahab's son, recorded in 2 Kings chapter 9. He slayed Jezebel, Ahab's wife, recorded in 2 Kings chapter 9 as well. He slayed the 70 sons of Ahab, recorded in 2 Kings chapter 10. But he didn't stop there. Again, he went way beyond the house of Ahab, and he went into the southern kingdom of Judah, where he slayed King Ahaziah in 2 Kings chapter 9 as well. Didn't stop there. He slayed 42 of the sons of Ahaziah, 2 Kings 10:13, and he also slayed, not necessarily a bad thing, but all the worshippers of Baal in 2 Kings chapter 19 and chapter 10 verse 19 through 29. Now we read, if you look back at chapter 10 and verse 31, notice what we read about God's summary of this King Jehu. We read, "But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin." So yes, Baal was gone, but the calves remained, the calves in Bethel and Dan. And in 2 Kings chapter 10, look at verse 35, we read that Jehu finally dies, and Jehu slept with his fathers. And that's how the chapter ends. So when we come to 2 Kings chapter 11, let's grasp the scene here for a moment. There's a new king in Israel in the north, Jehoahaz, who was Jehu's son and just took the throne. But there's no king in Judah because the last king, the previous king, had just died. And so we read of this woman. I'm going to tell you who she is in a moment here. You might know already, but I'll mention it again anyway. We read of this woman named Athaliah who goes on to murder all of the seed royal, and she seizes the throne in Judah, and she begins her evil reign that is going to last for the next 6 years. But little does she know that God has another plan.
Amen.
God has a king awaiting that she had no idea about. And so I want to preach tonight just thinking of this story on this subject. Athaliah, when things appear out of control. We'll say that again. When things appear out of control. I have another title. I think I like this one better. The King is coming.
Amen.
He is. He's coming.
Amen.
You know, one of my favorite types of sports games to watch is when the team that I'm rooting for has a come-from-behind last-second victory. I played sports in school, and it's always nice if you're losing and you're just trying to win, and you have that come-from-behind victory when it seems like you're going to lose, but the team you like is going to lose, and your team wins. I like that. That's exciting to me. But you know, it kind of reflects what's happening with the things of God. Here's what I mean. Sometimes it seems like is the emphasis here, as Christians, that we are losing.
Yes.
Ever feel that way?
Amen.
It seems like we're losing, or things are out of control, and the devil seems to be winning. But tonight I'd like to assure us that we are not losing. And that things are not out of control. You see, I read the end of the story. You read the end of the book. We know that we win. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. May I say it again? The King is coming, my friend. He's coming. No doubt about it. So I want to see this story because we find a principle that I think we can relate to today with Athaliah, who thinks she's won. But she missed something. The King was coming. Notice, first of all, number one, the plan of Athaliah. She's got a plan. Notice, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. You know, you don't hear a lot of preaching about this woman, Athaliah. You hear about Jezebel. Oh, wicked Jezebel and so forth. But you know that Athaliah was one of the most evil, wicked women in the Bible. I mean, in my opinion, she may be even higher in wickedness than Jezebel. As a matter of fact, the Bible only uses wicked 5 times to describe a particular person, and she's one of them. 2 Chronicles 24:7 calls Athaliah that wicked woman. I'm not saying she wasn't, but the Bible doesn't use that word about Jezebel, but it uses it of this woman, because she was wicked. She was absolutely evil. We read that after she saw her son Ahaziah, what Jehu did, as he killed all those people, get in that here in a little bit. As she saw that he was dead, what did she do? She rose up and she destroyed all the seed royal.
Right.
You say, what does that mean? Well, in order to understand what's happening here, we have to understand how Athaliah fits into the royal families of both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And by the way, it can be quite confusing. I had to take a piece of paper out and map the thing out. But let me try to explain it to you. Ahab and Jezebel, we know them, had 3 noteworthy children. 2 boys and a girl. Ahaziah, Jehoram, and Athaliah. Ahaziah, son number 1, would succeed Ahab on the throne in the north as Israel's 8th king. His brother Jehoram would succeed Ahaziah, who was his brother, as Israel's 9th king, because when Ahaziah died, he didn't have any sons, so they went to his brother Jehoram. Are we there? Good? We're good, right? Okay, and then the daughter of the 3, you had the 2 boys and the daughter, was this girl, this woman here, Athaliah. Now here's where it gets a little confusing. Because of King Ahab in the north, his relationship to King Jehoshaphat in the south, Athaliah, Ahab's and Jezebel's daughter, would end up marrying Jehoshaphat's son in the south, Jehoram,
right.
Judah's 5th king. And their son, they had Ahaziah in the south, named after her brother, would become Judah's 6th king. I know it gets a little confusing there. Did you follow that? Probably didn't, because I got lost myself there. But my point is this. This is what I'm trying to say. Athaliah, think about this, had a grandfather that was a king, Omri. She had a father that was a king, Ahab. She had a mother that was a queen, Jezebel. She had 2 brothers that were kings, Ahaziah in the north and Jehoram in the north. She had a father-in-law that was a king, King Jehoshaphat in the south. Her husband was a king, Jehoram in the south. She had a son that was a king, Ahaziah in the south as well. My point is this. Her entire life revolved around politics and political power. Everybody, she was in the mix of this thing. She was a career politician. Don't mention any names. I'm thinking of them too. And she loved it. She loved it. She loved it because she was a power-hungry, evil woman that loved to be in control. Stop thinking about people. Now, like her mother Jezebel, Athaliah loved to be the power behind the scenes. She was turning the head, if you will. She was turning the steering wheel. Even when her son Ahaziah was on the throne, if you remember, we read this, 2 Chronicles 22:3, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. And so understand the position that Athaliah is in at this very moment. Things have taken a dramatic turn. I mean, the political realm has been turned on its head. Think about it. After the bloodbath of Jehu, almost all of that is gone. Gone. I mean, all of the male heirs of Ahab are dead. Her husband is dead, her son is dead, all of her brothers are dead, and her power, in her mind, her power is slipping out of her hands. And she don't want to give it up. Not at all. And so she comes up with this plan. A plan to preserve her position. A plan to keep herself in power. What is that plan? Well, we read it. She arose and destroyed all the seed royal. In other words, she gathered all of her male grandchildren that were potential heirs to the throne, and she has them all murdered. That's how wicked this woman is. By the way, she thinks she has them all murdered, because not all of them. Why did she do that? So that she could reign over the land. What an evil plan.
Right.
You know, I got thinking about that plan. I thought of two things about it. Just reading it. Number one is this. It was a selfish plan.
Amen.
It absolutely was. What was Athaliah? What was her motive? I'll tell you what her motive was. Herself.
Right.
Athaliah's evil plan was all about her. She didn't care about her nation. She didn't care about the people. She didn't care about what was right and what was wrong. She didn't care about God. She didn't care about God's word. She only cared about herself. Her goal was to be in power. Her goal was to remain on the throne. Her goal was to enjoy all the riches of royalty. It was all about her selfish desires, and she did whatever she had to do to fulfill them. It was a selfish plan.
Amen.
But I also thought this. It was a satanic plan.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? You know, Athaliah's plan went much deeper than what appeared.
Right.
You say, what do you mean by that? She was being used as a tool of Satan to try and eliminate the seed.
Right.
The seed royal. You see, this was another one of Satan's attempts to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming into this world. Now I know he couldn't prevent it, I get that, but he was trying to. Do you remember immediately after the fall of man, God promised that he would send the Messiah that would come into this world, and the Messiah would come through the seed of the woman.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And as we go on into the Bible, we find out some things about this Messiah that would come through the seed. We find out that this Messiah would come two times. that he would come the first time to die for the sins of the world. Read Isaiah chapter 53. But then he would come a second time to judge the world. Read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And the Messiah, this Messiah, the seed that would come, understand that God told us that it would come through the lineage of the Jews. Of the seed of Abraham. It would follow the seed of Abraham and the seed of Isaac and the seed of Jacob and Moses and the seed of David. And understand something as you read through your Bible. These aren't just incidental things. Ever since the fall of man, the devil has been trying to destroy the Jews.
Right.
So that he could destroy the seed.
God forbid.
That's what he's trying to do. Right. And he will use evil, power-seeking, self-serving people to try and accomplish his work.
Right.
Think about throughout the Bible, just a few examples of that. People like Pharaoh. A Pharaoh who tried to kill all the Jewish baby boys in the days of Moses. That was a satanic plan.
Right.
Think of people like Haman, who tried to exterminate all the Jews. That was a satanic plan. Think of people like Herod, who tried to kill all the babies in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a satanic plan. Think of in our current day, respectively speaking, comparatively speaking, Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and the Ahabs, Arabs, who all hate the Jews, they do. And they were all tools in the hands of Satan to accomplish his plan.
Right.
You see, the devil has this idea that if he can annihilate God's people, which he can't, but he has this idea that he can thwart God's plan. And he keeps trying. You see, while the plan of those people I named in the Bible and outside of the Bible, in their mind, they were simply seeking power. They were either wittingly or unwittingly being used of the devil to try to stop God's work in this world and stop God's word from being fulfilled.
Right.
And I want to laugh at them. I want to sit like the Lord sits in the heavens and laugh. And why do the heathen rage and say, "You really think you can do something against God?" That's how sin-sick they are.
Right.
You know, I think as we look out today at our current government and the leaders in our institutions and what's going on in this world, Satan's plan hasn't stopped.
Right.
It's still going. We see a group of people who, in their selfish desires, they're seeking power, they're seeking control, they're seeking riches. But those of us who know the Bible, we know there's a much bigger picture going on here. They are being used as a tool of Satan to try and hinder the work of God in this world and stop God's word from advancing.
Right.
Ever think about this? I mean, the nation of Israel is about the size of New Jersey. I mean, geographically, it is. Why in the world has there been so much turmoil over this little piece of real estate there in the Middle East? Well, it's very, very simple. Because it is the place of God's, because of its place in God's plan. That's why. And there's a satanic spiritual warfare going on here, and the devil wants to destroy it. And that's what Athaliah was trying to do. She was seeking power, but the truth of the matter, she was being used of the devil to try to eliminate God's plan and God's promise of the Davidic seed leading all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who's going to come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day.
Hallelujah.
That was the plan of Athaliah. But then I noticed number two, not only I thought about this, not only the plan of Athaliah, but the perception of Judah. Okay, let's put ourselves here in Judah. I mean, a mess just happened. Jehu and all that he did, and we read in verse 3 of our text, and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. Here's what I want to show you. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So Athaliah, imagine being there from the perspective outside of these few that knew about Joash being hidden, and imagine seeing what you saw. I mean, Jehu's bloodbath, Athaliah slays all the seed royal, and now here is this evil woman sitting on the throne. How would you have felt if you lived in Judah? Imagine what it looked like to the average person. She's on the throne, And year after year after year, she is ruling. I like what one commentator said. He said, while her husband reigned, she was the power behind the throne. Now she is the power on the throne. And proof of her energy, forcefulness, and ability are seen in the length of her reign. A despotic ruler. Her every gesture had to be obeyed. During her reign, we know this from 2 Chronicles 24:7, part of the temple of Jehovah was pulled down, and the material used in the building of a temple of Baal. That's what she did. While Jehu got rid of all the Baal worship, what did she do? She actually built in Jerusalem a temple for Baal. All right, put yourself in there as one of the Jews. How's it feel? Well, it would have seemed to me like it feels today a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like evil is prevailing.
Right.
Like the wicked are winning. And I'd imagine that during this time period when Athaliah is on the throne, that God's people probably felt conquered. They probably felt crushed. They probably felt defeated. And by the way, that's a normal feeling humanly for all of us. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Right.
What about you? I'm mourning a little bit today in America. In 2023. Now turn with me to Psalm 137, if you would. Kind of like the feeling that we find here in the people of Judah, if you remember this psalm, after the Babylonian captivity. Can you imagine that? Here, after the three stages, and again, I'm jumping forward, but I'm trying to make a principle here, make a point through a principle. Here they were taken away captive by the Babylonians. Can you see them all walking to Babylon? Daniel and others, Ezekiel there, being marched with all the soldiers around them. Maybe some of them in cages. I don't know. I was just using my mind's eye there and seeing them go. Can you imagine how dejected they must have felt? And notice Psalm 137 and verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. When they get there, they sit down by the Euphrates River. And they're thinking about what used to be. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Who wants to sing, by the way? For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Can you imagine that? Sing us one of your songs, you folks. You had all these songs that you were singing in the Psalms, your Hebrew songbook. Come on, entertain us. Show us that song. Imagine what they felt like?
Right.
Well, read the next verse. You know what they felt like. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Kind of how I feel sometimes when I think about what's going on.
Amen.
I feel this is like exactly what happens is happening to us. I feel like all around us there's Athaliah's on the throne. That's what I feel like. I feel like it looks like the devil is winning sometimes. And this is wrong. I'm just telling you, the emotions we deal with. I feel like ungodliness is prevailing. Things are out of control. Right is wrong and wrong is right. We're wondering, have people lost their mind today? But here's my point. We better be careful if we start feeling that way. Because there's something inside of us when, if we let that attitude prevail, that causes us to want to give up. There's something inside of us that we want to ease up. We want to kind of hide in a corner, you know. Let's go find a place to live where nobody's going to bother us, or throw in the towel, or quit. Or we say sometimes, "What's the use?" You ever feel that way? Athaliah's on the throne. She slayed all the kings. The seed of David in the mind of most people is gone. What's the point? And we lose our joy. We lose our song.
Right.
We lose our zeal. And many have allowed the circumstances that surround us this day to stop us from serving God. And to stop us from winning souls. And to stop us from giving to God's work and living for God because of the perception that we have in our mind that the devil is winning. Can I ask you tonight, does that describe you? I think we all fight that.
Amen.
We all fight it. But that was a perception in Judah. What's the point? Which leads me to number three, and we're done. The providence of God. Well, folks, there's more to the story.
Amen.
You see, while Athaliah was, you know the story, I just read it a moment ago. While Athaliah was doing what she was doing, God's providence was doing something else.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You see, we read what happened in verse 2, but Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, notice the daughter of Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. I would imagine during those 6 years, Athaliah, boy, she thought she had it made.
Right.
She probably thought, well, I'm the leader here. Nobody's going to stop me. I mean, I destroyed all the seed royal. My plan has succeeded. But something that she forgot about God. She forgot about the control and the providence of God and the sovereignty of God. And we read, as we know what the Bible says and what happened, we get a behind-the-scenes look that God in His providence was proceeding with His plan all along behind the scenes. And we read in verse 12, that day finally came. Again, Athaliah orders the destruction. Jehosheba hides him, until that king was old enough to become king, or they felt the time was right. Man, I'd love to be there that day when Athaliah's on the throne, and all of a sudden she hears all this cheering going on, and she wonders what's happening. And we read in verse 12 that they bring forth the king's son, and they put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king, my friend. The king is here.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I like that. I want to jump out of my skin when I read that. And the day came when Joash was brought forth.
Amen.
The hidden king, and crowned him as the next king of Judah, and slayed Athaliah. My point is this: God's plan prevailed.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know what the next event is on God's calendar?
Praise the Lord.
It's the rapture.
Amen.
At any moment, at any time, we're going to be out of here.
Hallelujah.
The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. God is going to pour out His wrath for 7 years upon this unbelieving world. After the 7-year tribulation, of course, the Antichrist is going to rise and all of that. Jesus Christ is going to come and He's going to return. But this time when He comes back again, understand something. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's not coming back as a lamb to the slaughter. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And He is going to come and He's going to march through the gates, that eastern gate of Jerusalem. And He's going to sit there on the throne of David, hey, and He's going to declare Himself the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Then that day, you know what? I'm going to be sure glad.
Amen.
That I was doing what we're doing today.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, I'm not going to let things discourage me.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to try not to let things discourage me. Because it's easy to get discouraged. Because all around us, what do we see? The Athaliahs all over the place, thumbing their nose at God, laughing at doing things that are so repulsive in the minds of God, passing laws with all of their agendas that go directly against the things of God. And they're just laughing and laughing, and we're sitting here eating it. Until that day.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ comes again. See, the message is real simple tonight. It's this: it may seem like the devil's winning, but he's not.
Amen.
God's plan is working out to perfection.
Amen.
He is fulfilling His plan, and so do not let what you see. I cannot let what I see and what I hear and all of these voices around me stop us from being faithful, from winning souls, from going after people, for standing for the truth. Listen, this is not a time to let up or give up. It's a time to amp it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the King is coming. He may seem like the hidden king and rejected king, but the hidden king like Joash was, but he's not. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to rule and reign one day. Listen, let's keep going after people. I have been so pleased in thanking God for what He's been doing in our church recently. The visitors, the souls that have been saved, different people coming in, baptisms, joining the church. You know what? Let's just keep going after the devil. Let's just keep going after it, going after people, winning souls and living for God. Because when it's all said and done and Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we'll sure be glad we did. Amen.